celebrate Christmas your way with Baker's Delight. 101.9.
This is the Fox. Here's a great text exchange that went viral yesterday. It's very funny. Well, maybe not for the person that was sent the messages. So a guy got a text from his driving instructor. Mm-hmm. So he's learning how to drive. And the
just a random text or a text
about driving?
Well,
the text
driving?
Said, it said this. It said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't think we should do lessons anymore.
Oh.
I have decided to pass you on to another instructor because I need to think about my health. You drive too fast and dangerously for me. I have to put my health first. Thumbs up emoji. I have another student now. I am going to give you the new instructor's number. Take care. He got dumped.
I think they've got a few issues. Is he okay?
No, he's scared for his life. Mm. The guy, the person he's obviously teaching is reckless.
Lead foot.
And I understand. I mean, look, driving instructors, that is a tough job. And I don't think they get enough credit. In fact, did you know today my driving tests start again in Melbourne? So
really?
All around Melbourne.
Oh, great.
People will hopefully be getting their permits.
All the old plates are getting around.
No, but think about that. You're driving someone that can't drive. And often you get the driving instructors involved when the parents are too scared to do it themselves.
Mate, I've been through this, Boxy. I've been driving with Mia, with all her owls, used to take her driving. It's awful.
Yes, I know. I'd be terrified to do it.
Alex did do it eventually because I'd be off doing something and she'd take her, but she was nervous to drive because she's scared. And Mia didn't want to drive with Al because she's like, hun, where I just sat there and I was like, I tried to be like an instructor and not too, because you don't want to make the kid nervous.
Mm. Well,
then you get
is,
nervous because they can't drive.
It's a weapon. So you're sitting in a, that is, you're putting your 16-year-old in a weapon, the car. And I remember my stepdad, he did try to teach me. We were at Chernside Park shopping centre.
Big shopping centre.
On a Sunday, though, so there were no cars around.
Yeah.
And he got out of the driver's seat and put me, and I got in the driver's seat. And then he wanted me to do, mind you, manual, so it was quite hard. And instead of pressing the brake, I pressed the accelerator and slammed it straight into the tree. So I did his bumper on the first day.
Do you learn from your mistakes?
Oh, that's terrible. But driving instructors, they have a lot of pressure on them. And why, I thought this would be a good idea. Why don't we open the phone lines? If you're a driving instructor, have you got any great stories?
Wouldn't be a fun job.
That's what I mean. Have you had to sack somebody like this person got sacked? What have you seen? What have you dealt with a learner driver?
I just pass everyone because you learn.
Why?
Because you learn.
No, you can't pass everybody.
They need to be
Boxy,
up to standard.
You learn. Do you think you're a better driver now than what you were when you got your license?
Okay, you pass somebody.
Just answer that question.
Oh, definitely I am. But let's say, Feb, you pass someone that's highly incompetent and they then go and have a collision with another car and that person gets
that's
injured.
That's not the person.
That's on you because you passed them.
That's absolutely the person who made the mistake of the accident.
13, 10, 6. Yeah, that's the person you gave a license to.
Well, learn.
We would love to hear from any driving instructors, maybe somebody who does the tests. What have you seen behind the wheel?
Just so you know, you made no point at all. 13, 10, 60.
Okay, Mr. Point.
Call us, Rick.
Wow.
Great comeback.
Wow.
Call us right now. Give us a call. Give us a call.
Mr. Jury, are you over there? Mr. Judge?
Nice point, Mr. Point. 13, 10, 60. Call us now.
Pointing at me while you say that.
If you're a driving instructor, what do you have to deal with? Hey, is it true that in those learner cars, the driving instructor, the one in the passenger seat, right, does he also or she have a brake?
They do. They've got a brake. They've got everything at their feet.
Right. So that's good. You need that.
101.9 The Fox.
We were talking about driving instructors and how hard that job would be. You're putting somebody behind a weapon, because we know cars are weapons.
The best conversation's been off air about driving instructors, hasn't it?
And it would be, there would be things that would happen and scary things that might happen. So we've said driving instructors, give us a call. By the way, you can get your license or your permits from today in Melbourne. They're back open again. Lisa in Brunswick. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Lisa. Are you a driving instructor?
I am, yeah. It's a very green one.
Oh, you're a green driving instructor. Well, that's a whole new level of scariness.
I know, isn't it?
How are you finding it, Lisa?
Look, I have a teaching background, so, you know, I have that side sort of down pat, but the losing control when you're on the other side of the car is a little bit crazy.
What's the hairiest situation you found yourself in?
I've had this one learner in particular, and with my learners, I take them to the cemetery first, because in Melbourne, It's too hard to take them on busy intersections because you turn the wrong way.
Okay.
It's a true story. If you turn the wrong way, you could be in all sorts of trouble. And then I've taken this learner to the cemetery about 7 times, and she still hasn't progressed to the pedals.
Was there a lot of?
Because there's no one there.
No traffic.
But there's gravestones.
But that they're under. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, there's no one there, so it's safe.
We get it. Yep.
Yeah, so this girl in particular obviously doesn't have any road sense whatsoever, and I've probably had to grab the steering wheel every session about 4 or 5 times just to deter her off the trees. It's pretty hairy.
Have you had one of those honest, frank, blunt moments where you've had to say, I just don't think driving's for you?
Not really. I sometimes say I don't think we're suited.
Oh, okay.
There we go. That's the line
to
use.
It would be easy to chat the Lisa and the L plate driver that's in there, because you'd say, like, if you keep driving the way you're driving, you'll end up here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Lisa, feel free to use that next time.
Thanks,
suggestion from Fev.
No worries, mate.
Thank you.
101.9 The Fox.
Hughie and Ed drive you home from 5 p.m. on 101.9 The Fox. This is Fifi, Fev and Byron every Tuesday on our show.
Hughie Tuesday. I just want to go on the record to say I love hot cross buns. They are the best, and the Baker's Delight ones are just knock it out of the park.
Thank you.
That was such a strange comment from Fev, wasn't it?
We'll save that for Easter, Hughie. We're trying to promote the Christmas the food, mate, not
Yeah, I understand
Easter.
That, but there's no need
probably
to. No, but
probably would have gone back there.
I tell you what, you love them. We all love everything at Baker's Delight Deliver. I was there on the weekend, you know. Do you get the buns with the powder on top or without the powder on top?
You know what? I get their coffee scrolls, Hughie. I love a good coffee scroll.
We get the Vegemite ones.
The
standard. Have you seen the Vegemite ad where they're just pouring Vegemite on everything? Yeah, that squeezy thing.
That Ash Barty. Weird. Ash Barty was squeezing the Vegemite.
She's squeezing it on pizza.
She just put the Premiership cup down and got the Vegemite and thought,
you could squeeze Vegemite on everything that is nailed down or not nailed down. So anyway, they're not sponsors.
But thanks for looking after our good friends at Baker's Delight. Much appreciated.
Hughie, we have to talk about your big half century.
Yeah.
This is exciting for you.
Old.
I know you think, you know, we shouldn't be talking about it too much before it happens, but
yes,
it's great.
Yeah, it will happen. We're going to touch wood. It will happen. I've got till Thursday week for, you know, I've got to just keep my head down for another, 8 days?
Stay indoors,
yeah, and we can get through this, all right? Don't go to Adelaide. Not going to Adelaide. No, we're staying here where it's nice and safe, and I'll get
going
to the age
else?
Of 50. I go, no, mate, I'm just hanging around. I'm hanging around. No, it's a big
party. That was my
opportunity
to chime in there.
Fair.
I wanted to ask you a question, but he said no.
No,
I'm not going to say it.
Just hold your fire, Fev. You know, let's just get through a few more days and just be great. Great team players. What was I talking about? Yes, the 50th.
Sorry about that.
You know what, though? Bianca Dye, who works on the Gold Coast, just said she thought I was in my mid-50s. So, you know,
that's a bit harsh.
I got a shock. I wasn't ready for your 50th.
You're the other way?
Thought
I was in my mid-40s.
Other way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
So, but I don't
There's
know
no
which.
No way which is... Hughie's in the same era of you two.
Yeah, well,
and you're there in a month. Fev is 40 in a month.
Oh, no, I'm not. In the month 40. December.
Oh, okay, 2 months.
A month and a half, Fev.
Next year. So when you're 51, I'll be turning 40.
No, but 41. You did 40 this year.
No,
are you 40 this year?
Next year, mate.
Are you 38?
No. He's in denial. So on January 20... In 2021,
Trump
he'll turn
White
40.
House.
So in less than 2 months, Fev turns 40, but he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. All right, no, Fev, you're a very young man. So,
hang on to
your
30s.
For about that 1 month period, Hughie, you're going to be in your 50s and Fev's going to be in his 30s.
Yeah.
And he's going to really hang on to
that. That's my whole point.
Yeah. Well, you know what we've got? What I have with my wife for about 8 months is that we're both in our 40s. She turned 40 last December.
Yeah, because she's young. She's beautiful. Young.
Yeah, but we're both in our 40s. You know?
Yes, so I love that.
Well done. There you are.
Till next Thursday, and then I'm in my 50s. And then I'm Jeffrey Edelson again.
So,
she's fine. She's
happy with it?
Mate, she didn't marry me for my looks. Do you know what I mean? She married me.
Obviously.
Why did she marry? Shut up, Fev.
It's just that you guys get on so well. It's always such a pleasure to have Fuzzy on. Dev always makes him feel so welcome, doesn't he?
Because we're mates, we banter.
Yeah, we can, exactly. Where we can go.
Show.
We can go Fuzzy deep now. Yeah, well, mate. Okay. No, let's just. Everything's good.
A lot of talk over.
It's a feather. Yeah, you're right. So anyway, so next Thursday, big show on the radio. Amy Shark's playing live
she
for
is.
Me. She's going to sing. She's sing. I don't know. She might sing a Marilyn Monroe style "Happy Birthday." I don't know what she's going to.
I heard that last night, Fuzzy. It was a good get. Well done.
Yeah, no, she's a good fan. Good fan? Good friend. No, she's not a friend, but she's a good person. So she's a, you know, it says, guys, what's happening?
Hey,
yeah,
Fuzzy, can I tell you, I might interrupt here. Can I tell, you'll enjoy this, because Fev's having a lot of shots at your expense. Can I share something embarrassing that happened to Fev?
Yes.
So he noticed that Amy Shark had unfollowed him on social media, on Instagram. So he sent her a DM and said, why have you unfollowed me?
And did she get back to you?
Yeah. She told me. What did she write back? Can you read it to her, Fuzzy?
Oh, this was...
I don't think I have it anymore.
What was really...
Well, it was something along the lines of... go on. Are you going to read it? Or
I think she said, Fuzzy, something like, it was my new label.
She said she got her new manager went through and did a Carl, and I'm sorry, you were Carl.
That's okay.
I wish I didn't. I wish I was. I wish I didn't say this, but I'm going to be honest. She did the same to me. So,
it must have been a record label.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe.
It was a record label.
Why would the Thank record you, label no, unfollow? Yeah. Well, she must have unfollowed me too. Why would the? Why would they know. All unfollow all the hit network people?
She did unfollow you.
That doesn't
make sense. Maybe because at one point we didn't add her new single. I don't know.
Or they saw our ratings, maybe.
Yeah, number one show for years on end, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's COVID does weird things to people's listening habits, you know.
Anyway, it's been quite a chat this morning. Sorry, I was just looking at Amy Shark's incident to see who she does follow.
Yeah.
She follows Tommy Little.
Yeah, and she follows
me. She's following us again, Byron, don't you worry. She just had a couple of days off.
Yeah, she just had a spell.
She was too into us, and she thought, I need to focus on my songwriting.
Anyway, just driving you home, Masavo from 5 on the Fox. In the lead up to his birthday.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Kids are creative. We love that kids are creative, and you really encourage that creativity in your kids. Sometimes, though, it can turn into, well, they can become deceptively creative and dangerously creative, like a group of 10-year-olds retrospectively. So an adult is now sharing a story about when he was 10, he basically ran an organized crime ring on the game Neopets. Do you know Neopets?
Yeah, I think I do. Is that where they buy different pets and you can exchange them with people. You can trade them.
I think
the kids do that.
I found
Lenny
the theme,
and Lulu do
the theme
all the
music.
So this guy, leverage his position. He would he'd adopt unwanted pets at the pound and then pimp them out.
Yeah.
Like he figured out how to, I don't know Neopets well, but he figured out how to leverage himself and get more, what do you get, points?
Yeah,
something. Some fake cash, cash.
Lulu's friends do it and they've had arguments about it because they get tricked. You trick people into getting your pets and they're like a dud pet. I think that's how it works.
Right.
Well, it's Neopets. Who knew? It's a world of espionage and deceit. But kids being creative. See, I was thinking back, Fev, and I'll take you back down memory lane too. Remember when I was a kid, and I bring this up because the other day Trixie, she wanted me to buy these rainbow unicorns on some app. And I was really trying to explain to her, darling, that's not real. Like, you're not really going to get a rainbow unicorn and a rainbow dolphin. They're just pretending that company's just taking mummy's money. And then she said to me, well, I'll use my money. And I said, oh, darling, what money is that? And she said, my piggy bank. And she's right.
Yeah.
I didn't want to then say, but your piggy bank's full of money that you've just taken off the kitchen bench.
Yeah,
it's
which
my
is
money.
Yours, yeah.
But do you remember when you were a kid and back in the days when you used to go up to the milk bar? Because I would never let the girls do what I used to do.
We're at the Topshop.
Oh, was it? Was it like, in Wonga Park, it's sort of was semi-rural and we'd walk up to the local milk bar on Jumping Creek Road, which is quite dangerous. I'm surprised Mum let us. But before my friend and I went, you'd go and open every drawer in the house. You'd go into the car, check all the console. You'd check your mum's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
You'd check in your dad's side drawer and just get as many coins as you want. Because back then, coins would get you mixed lollies.
Get you, nearly get you the whole shop.
Yes. But that was, and maybe I shouldn't be proud of that behaviour, and maybe, but that was a creative, I was being a creatively crooked kid.
Mm, at the age of 39, Boxy, I do all that. I still do all that. I play the apps, I ask Alex for money, and I raid her purse for coins for coffees in the morning.
Very good. I remember my brother did this. So my younger brother in high school, he ran his own Melbourne Cup sweep. And if you think about it, there's 24 runners in the Melbourne Cup.
Yes.
And he got everyone to put in their $2, so he collected $48. But yes. They couldn't work out how to do it. Right. And I think he made the first prize like $15. Mm. And I think he said, oh, and last place gets $5 and just took the rest of the money.
Smart.
See, this is clever. Kids can be clever with money and rorts. And 131060, we're celebrating them now. What did you do as a kid?
Mm.
What are your kids maybe getting up to?
Okay. Crooked
it's
kids.
It's all in fun. Mm.
Yeah.
I stole my mum's Alpine smokes once and smoked her in the toilet.
See, that, yep.
And then blow it out the window so it wouldn't smell.
All right.
They were minty.
131060.
1019. The Fox.
We're talking about kids who are creatively crooked in the nicest possible way. Do things that they're the kind of thing. It's when your kids do something to either get money or to get their way, and even though you're supposed to punish them, there's part of you that goes, "This is good. They're going to be good in the real world. They will know how to make stuff happen." Nadine in Endeavour Hills. Hi, Nadine.
Hi. How are you?
Good, Nadine. Do you know a crooked kid criminal?
Oh yes, I do. It's my older brother.
Oh, what did your older brother get up to?
Yeah, he used to go to the Not Quite Right shop and buy lollies.
Mm-hmm.
And with these lollies, he used to distribute it to his younger siblings. So he's got 5 siblings. And we'd all go to the primary school and sell them for $2 each, make 20 cents from each lolly we sell, and he'd make the rest of the profit.
Your brother's
not genius.
Your brother's not Fagin, is he? Like, that's just sending your little sisters and brothers out to get cash.
That's a pyramid scheme.
And, yeah, he would have been 12 years old at the time, so he'd end up with about $60 at the end of the week, and we repeat it for weeks on end.
Out of interest, now, Nadine, I want to put this to the test, because obviously that is not great behaviour and he should have been punished for that. How is he going at the moment? Is he in finance? Where does he work?
he's actually a sparky and a fencer as well, so he does two jobs.
Doing very well.
He works really hard. Yeah. But, yeah, he does well with his money, that's for sure.
Oh, he does.
I remember kids used to sell smokes for like $2.
Really?
So you buy a packet of smokes back then, probably, I don't know, $15, $20.
Yeah.
You sell a pack of 25, $2 a pop, they're doubling their money.
Did you buy good those business. For $2?
No, I didn't smoke. I puffed on mum's once in Alpine when I was about 7 and I coughed my guts up.
That's not right.
I hated it. Really, and I was an athlete, Boxy.
At 7. Troy, thank you for that, Nadine. Troy and Craigie Byrne. Hey, Troy.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, Troy. How were you crooked, deceptive and being a bit criminal as a kid?
So it was actually me. So my parents were actually separated and I used to live with my old man and he used to give me $20 or so for the school canteen. And a couple of times if some of the boys were a bit short, I'd ring up mum and say, "Mum, Dad forgot to give me $20 when he's actually given it to me. And I had $40, so I shouted all the boys at school lunch.
Oh,
there he goes.
Troy. Well done, Troy.
Great work. Did they ever find out?
Yeah, they found out. I didn't realise. They actually started talking behind my back. I didn't realise they were actually talking. And then one day I went to mum to say, "Hey, I need some money. Dad didn't give me any." And she messaged Dad and she's like, "No, I gave him $20 today." And then so as soon as I got home, both of them were sitting there with their arms crossed. I was like, "Oh, I'm going now. Bye." I'm going. Went to a skate park and chilled out there for a few hours.
They're the times when you actually hope that your parents have an acrimonious divorce.
Yeah, sure. I used to like, do that with
so
my
they
parents.
Won't talk.
I did that. I got money off mum and money off dad. Played them all the time.
Emily in Doreen. Hi, Emily.
Easy.
Hi, good morning.
Emily, what did you get up to? How deceptive and creatively criminal were you as a kid?
So these were two boys at my school when we were about 13, and every Christmas they would go into the school office, draw this really rubbish map of the streets around our town of where the good Christmas lights were, photocopy about 200 copies, and then sell them for $2 each to people walking around looking at Christmas lights.
Wow! Do you know how much they made?
I don't know. It felt like a lot of money when we were little kids because we were like in awe of these businessmen.
That is great. They might be running like Google at the moment.
Who knows?
That is really ingenious.
That's all now gone online. But
yeah.
If pre-internet, that would have been very effective.
Very
good. They might have made Google Maps.
You're right.
They might be there.
Thank you, Emily. Well, there's a spirit of innovation in amongst some slight dodginess in there, wasn't there? No, good stuff.
celebrate Christmas your way with Baker's Delight. 101.